readist, composer, arranger, curator.
I try many things, and the trick is keep trying, keep trying. Something will work. Something will happen.
And might I say band leader as well. It's great to have you, and we say welcome to Facebook, I say with hesitation, live, but it's great to have you here once again at WRTI's Performance Studio. This is member-supported WRTI 90.1, and we have a wonderful ensemble hanging out with us today. Once again, Mr. Daniel Bennett is here.
Hey, Michael.
And he's providing the saxophone work with us today. On the guitar, we have none other than Nat Janoff. And back there on the drums, holding down the rhythm and the heartbeat, Matt Mann is in the house. Yeah. It's Matt Fike, and it's great to have you guys here with us today.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having us.
You guys are in town for a performance at Paris Bistro.
We're at Paris Bistro tonight. It's our second time at Paris Bistro, and we were there last summer. And I should tell you this, too. We actually found a parking space before this loading in at the studio. So we're in a great mood right now.
How about that? So how about we keep that energy going?
Yes.
What's the first tune that you guys are going to give us today?
The first tune is called Gold Star Mufflers. It's dedicated to all of our rental cars that we use as a touring ensemble. 10 years as a touring ensemble.
Okay.
And we have not killed each other yet.
All right.
Believe that.
All right. No, that's outstanding. So how about we hear that and we'll continue on?
Great.
All right. And you can place that mic right over there and we'll keep it moving. Thank you. That's very nice work indeed. Thank you so much. And once again, that was Gold Star Muffler.
Gold Star Muffler. I blame all of our song titles on Nat Janoff, by the way.
Somebody has to be responsible.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be responsible. Once again, if you're just joining in with us, we're very fortunate to have the Daniel Bennett Group with us here in the WRTI 90.1 Performance Studio. Man, again, very nice work. I enjoyed that.
Thank you. This
may be a little bit of a different configuration.
Yeah.
Not the standard, let's say, power trio, if you will.
Right.
But, you know, having a guitar, a saxophone, and the drums, I mean, if you can tell me a little bit how that configuration developed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the funny thing is I actually write all of my music from the guitar. I've never written a song from the piano, if you can believe that. So I'm kind of, in a way, a guitarist at heart. I'm not Nat Janoff, but, I mean, I'm really a saxophonist, yes, but it's all come in my ear. I hear things on the guitar, so I've always written for guitar. The group travels light. We do many tour dates. We just got back from Los Angeles. We did a week in Denver. We were in Miami last month. So we travel light, three people. And as you can see, Nat is working hard with all the pedals.
Yes,
and
he's got the pedal correct.
Yes, he has to loop and create all these new sounds because obviously there's no bass in the group. So it's kind of a different take on things.
Yeah, but it sounds great. You know, again, it's an interesting configuration, but it works out pretty well. You know, I think I read somewhere that you were kind of introduced to the saxophone when your sister took you to a concert when you were about 9 years old.
Yes.
What was the impact like?
Man, the guy's name, there was a high school kid. So my sister took me to a high school jazz concert, and this kid named Chris Oldfield, who I still keep up with, great musician. He lives in the Rochester, New York area where I was born and raised. He was in the high school jazz band, and he played a rendition of Pink Panther. And I was blown away. It was the greatest thing.
Right.
I was hooked at that point. So when we were supposed to sign up for our band instrument, you could have three choices, first, second, and third. And I put saxophone, saxophone, saxophone. So
they had an idea of where you were headed.
Well, I mean, you know, I wasn't going to say no, and my parents were very open-minded. They didn't mind me squeaking and squawking in the living room, so it worked out.
No, that's beautiful. You know, I also read somewhere that you played at Six Flags.
Yes.
How did that develop?
Yeah, that was in Rochester. That was when I was, I used to do a lot of gigs, amusement parks, carnivals. This was when I was in high school and college. I lived in Rochester until I was about 22. That was just an early gig. I played with a lot of folk groups, which is actually how I honed a lot of my doubling. I do flute and clarinet on the side. Little bit of oboe, so that's kind of how I learned to do those instruments, was playing with folk groups around the Rochester area.
Oh, outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, later on, you move to Boston, you attend the New England Conservatory and get the master's in performance, then make your way down to New York.
Yeah.
You've been there since about 2010 or so?
Yeah, since 2010, for a while I was traveling between New York and Boston because I was playing at a place called the Liberty Hotel in Boston. And I was doing that gig every week while I was living in New York. And then my wife finally said, look,
let's put her foot down.
Yeah, you know, it was 5 years of doing that, and back and forth, living in both cities. So she said, let's just, you know, she's very positive. She's very supportive. And she encouraged me to let it go and move on to other things. So that's the story. I have two kids, Naomi and Hudson, and my wife and I have lived in Manhattan for a long time. And it's home. You know,
how old are the children?
Naomi is 4 and Hudson is 2.
Are they gravitating towards the music at this point, or?
They love music. I don't have any secret agenda at this point. I try to keep open-minded.
I hear you.
Because one second they're into music, and then they're into sports, and then they're on to read books, and it's great. They're just into everything.
The exposure is wonderful. All right, so we're going to move into another tune. What is this next piece that we're going to hear?
So this song is called Patience, and it's actually inspired by, I do a lot of work with a show called Blank the Musical in New York City. It's an improvised musical, if you can believe that. It's a show that the audience creates on their smartphones.
Nice.
So this song, some of the ideas, the genesis of this song came from working on that show. So it's called Patience, and you're going to hear a little bit from the other guys as well. So it should be fun.
Outstanding. So let's do that, and we'll keep moving. Thank you. Once again, that is music from the Daniel Bennett Group. Man, great to have you here.
Good to be here, Michael. You know, thank you for having us.
Felt like I was on a cruise across the pond.
Right? Very festive, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Very, very nice work. You know, again, great to have you guys here. And, you know, I'm looking at Nat as he goes. You have to have quick feet, you know, with this setup. You know, I oftentimes I see a rig, but you kind of have these guys separated. But again, man, I'm noticing your footwork, and it's pretty fancy.
There's a lot going on, and it's a lot trickier than it looks actually. getting the levels, getting the sounds, and transition is a lot happening, but it keeps it interesting, so it's fun.
Outstanding. Again, that song you said comes from a theatrical presentation.
So the show is called Blank the Musical. It runs every Saturday at the Broadway Comedy Club in Manhattan, and it's literally an improvised musical. The audience creates a show on their smartphones. There's an app for the show, and the band and the singers and the actors create a show on the spot. the acting, everything's made up. So you might have a moment where it sounds Celtic like we were doing, or it might sound groovy or funky or dark, or, you know, it could be a million different genres happening. You know, it's very it's unexpected.
No.
You know?
How long has it been running?
It's been running for about a year and a half.
Okay.
It's one of a kind.
Yeah.
It's one of a kind.
Yeah, that sounds really special.
Yeah.
This band, I mean, you guys connected when you moved to New York. Is that how you came together with these guys?
I did.
So, I mean, if you can maybe give a little perspective on what it's like playing with these guys, the Nat and Matt show.
Yeah, the Nat and Matt. And it is the Nat and Matt show because they have all the, well, especially Nat because he's got the electric, you know, he's got the power. You know, I'm just a wind player, so he's got the power. I think Matt's got the power too. I met Matt on another theater show in New York at a theater called the Secret Theater, and we were doing a show called The Wild Party, which actually sounds like a really fun show, but it was a very dark musical. I think everybody was dead by intermission. In the show, everyone was dead. I hope the audience was not. The audience was still with us, hopefully.
That would be really a
That would be memorable,
show.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, the one takeaway from this show was that I met Matt Fike, and I said, wow, this percussionist, he was playing drums and percussion. I said, he's got a perfect sense of time. And I needed a drummer who could tour without a bass player and really keep time and have it feel comfortable and great. So that's how we connected. And we brought him out, you know, I took him out on the road and it worked. And the rest is history.
Outstanding.
Yeah, and then I met Nat just through a lot of other mutual musician friends in New York. We were playing at a place called the New Leaf in Upper Manhattan in Fort Tryon Park, a beautiful restaurant right in the middle of this park overlooking Washington Heights. And I needed a sub, I think it was, and I called Nat. I think we did mostly jazz standards. And then I said, Nat, you know, I hope I don't scare you with this, but I have some original music too. And he was open-minded, and we connected. So it was really nice.
I'm going to give him an opportunity. I mean, you've been, you know, hanging out with this guy, Mr. Daniel Bennett, for how long now?
Wow, I mean, it's like 5 years, I think.
I'm going to give you
that. Maybe 4 or 5 years, actually. So,
yeah.
No, it's great. I mean, it's very, you know, interesting music and very cool melodies. And, you know, the different influences are great. It makes it unique. Yeah, it's great.
You know, I mean, it's as I mentioned earlier, it's always, you know, crucial to have a drummer that's, you know, holding it down for you.
Sure.
And, you know, there seems to be a certain level of synergy with you and Matt back there. I mean, if you can talk a little bit about that wonderful drummer you have.
Yeah, no, Matt sounds great. We can play lots of different grooves together, and it works great for Daniel's music, which goes in many directions. So it's great. There's a great chemistry, so it's really nice.
Now, I'm going to put you to work for a second. You know, it almost looks like we have, you know, Matt in a cage back there.
Right,
and he's inaccessible, but I'm going to ask you to hand your microphone to him for
just
a second.
Oh, I can
do that. And maybe get a little insight from our drummer. You know, this trio configuration, as I said, it's not necessarily the normal configuration, but, you know, I mean, just the a little insight, but also the experience itself playing with these guys in this configuration.
Yeah, and specifically in this configuration, it's interesting because I have Nat over there setting loops. So what we'll do is I'll keep steady time as steady as I can because I know he's recording a loop. And as soon as he hits that pedal again to record the loop, then that loop is now the timekeeper. And the idea is basically I'm always listening to that loop, but, you know, you get to a point where I don't even realize it's a loop anymore because it's just, you know, it's just, it becomes, as long as it's, the recording of the loop is steady, then it's all good. We can just cruise from there.
No, that's all.
But yeah, but it's interesting configuration. I you know, it really has taught me how to, like, listen better and you know, do things that I normally wouldn't do.
I hear you.
To answer your question.
All right. Take that microphone. You know, the drummers, you always have to watch out for. You don't want to leave that microphone with him for too long. again, we're very fortunate to have the Daniel Bennett group in the house with us. And, you know, this is Facebook Live right here on member-supported WRTI 90.1. I think we have time for maybe one more piece.
Great.
What is this going to be?
So let's do the opening. It's the title track to the new album. Now, don't laugh because the name of the album.
So I'm laughing already.
You are. The name of the album is Sinking Houseboat Confusion. Again, I blame all the song titles on Nat Janoff.
It's my fault.
It is. So the song is called Sinking Houseboat Confusion, and we've probably played this song. It's probably our most requested song on the road, it's just fun to play. And, you know.
Why do you think it's the most requested?
Because it's just an unusual song title, and okay, people want to see if it lives up. Does the song live up to the name?
All right, well, we're about to find out.
Oh, good.
All right, awesome. So give the title one more time.
It's Sinking Houseboat Confusion.
There you go. Again, the Daniel Bennett Group right here on Member Support at WRTI 90.1. And there you have it. Yeah. Once again, that is the Daniel Bennett Group, and it's been great to have you guys here with us today, man.
So good to be here, Michael, and thank you. You have a great show. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, no, it's really great to have you here, and you know the Nat and Matt show as well.
Always will be
integrated in.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing. I know you do a little teaching.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, I mean, if you can talk a little bit about that experience, what it's meant for you, and just working with folks.
Definitely. So I teach at the New York Jazz Academy in Times Square, and also at the Bloomingdale School of Music on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. And I teach jazz improvisation. I coach ensembles. The New York Jazz Academy, they have students from all over the world. A lot of jazz camps during the summer that they host, but private lessons year-round. Javier Arau is the director of the school, and he has built just this huge school that's just really like changing lives and doing great things. The school actually recently did a trip to Cuba, where they got to play with some Cuban musicians. I wasn't able to go. I wish I could have, but he does some great things there. And then Bloomingdale School of Music on the Upper West Side, equally great. Erica Floresco is a director there, and they do, I think they probably have at least 1,000 students who come to the school, all ages. Again, private lessons, ensembles. Time Out New York just voted the school as in the top 10 prep piano schools in New York. So it's a really great place to be as well. So
that's incredible, man. You know, again, great to have you here. Off to a little rough start, but I think we hit that stride, and
yes,
you guys kept going. But wonderful to have you here. Continued success, and looking
forward to
having you guys here at some point in the future once again.
Awesome. Thank you, Michael.